I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday worship service. As was announced, our regular preacher, Alan, is out of town. So you get a second string today, both this morning and this evening. So I've pulled together some material that will cover both this morning and this evening. And hopefully we'll have something that everyone in the audience can get. Today we want to talk about spiritual choices. Now, to kind of set the stage overall, multiple part, we're kind of have some introductory kickoff remarks, and then we want to talk about choices that perhaps may be more viewed as being beginner level, you know, more so a choice between, you know, right and wrong, kind of a binary choice. Those choices that perhaps are more of an intermediate level, you know, more than two choices, you know, perhaps a, three choices or a choice within a spectrum of choices. And then we're going to move on to the advanced level, which are choices which are more open-ended, even more challenging, if you will. And then we'll kind of wrap things up by saying, if you think making choices are difficult now, well, it's getting more difficult, but there's good news at the end. So that's how far we get this morning. I'm not exactly certain. We'll just kind of play it by ear. So from an introduction perspective, lots of choices. I mean, lots of choices. I mean, you could probably estimate that even this morning alone, you know, tens of choices. I don't know about hundreds of choices, you know, in terms of, and maybe the choice is made by routine. You know, what time you get up, what you had for breakfast, what clothes you're going to wear, you know, different choices about, you know, how you're going to come here, means of transportation, path, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So just, you know, lots of choices. It also starts early on with life. I mean, even, you know, children, you know, as young as Heath and Braden, Ben and Jackson, et cetera. And, of course, more so when you get to, like, you know, Maddie and Weston and Caden and so on. Lots of choices. You know, obeying parents. You know, sharing. You know, getting along with your siblings. Choices to be made. You know, going off to school. You know, how you're going to behave in school. You know, getting along with the other kids. Choices there. Playing fair. You know, following directions, etc. You know, the choice of video games, even as young children. Sometimes choice of movies, etc. Education beyond high school, jobs, career, where to live, you know, all kinds of things associated with our bodies in terms of clothing and hairstyles and makeup and piercings and tattoos, etc., etc., diet, exercise, the list kind of goes on. Choice of friends, financial kinds of choices, you know, with limited money, how are you going to spend your money? Or with limited money, resources, you know, how are you going to spend it? I was in a situation yesterday where you only had so much money and so many different things you could buy and trying to decide, you know, which to buy. Saving money, giving money, choices, more choices. Big category, entertainment, hobbies, leisure time, recreation, just lots and lots of choices, you know, reading, television, media, etc. Spare time, however you want to phrase that. More serious choices, dating. Marriage, decision to have children, decision about having to raise children, how they're going to be raised, etc. Finding a faithful congregation, you know, civil government, driving, paying taxes, voting, etc., etc., etc. And if that wasn't enough, choices about what to think, attitudes, emotions, things to say, things not to say, and so on, and so on, and so on. Lots of choices, lots of choices, lots of choices. Now, admittedly, some of them don't matter in terms of a spiritual perspective or a moral perspective or having, you know, spiritual consequence. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. A lot do. Some are, you know, maybe important, but, you know, there's some latitude there, a matter of judgment, if you will. But sometimes the choices are between, you know, right and wrong. Sometimes they're more challenging, finding the right balance, perhaps, between two extremes, more complex. Or sometimes it's blending two things together that seemingly are different and contradictory, more difficult choice. And some choices are like pushing forward, striving some towards something that's difficult or perhaps really unobtainable. Choices along those lines. Now, the list I've got up here on the board, it's certainly not meant to be all-inclusive. Okay. All different kinds of choices, we're starting to lay some groundwork here in terms of the way of viewing them, but it's not meant to be all-inclusive. And as always, there's the importance of really understanding a lot of things. You know, understanding the situation, understanding what God's perspective on this situation is, possible positive, negative consequences, etc. All that's very important. But perhaps it's also more important to realize some choices have long-lasting consequences. Sometimes good. Sometimes not so good. Sometimes permanent. You know, very serious kind of thing. Also, we need to recognize that the choice not to do something or the choice to wait, it's still a choice. So, let's talk about decisions and choices. A lot of them are wrong. And why would I say that? Well, first of all, let's look at Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, where it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Okay, so here's a choice. But if you notice, you know, kind of numerically, qualitatively, there's the many and there's the few. So what does that say about the number of choices that are made wrong versus the choices that are made right? Let's continue on. Titus 3:3. "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient," watch it, "deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Again, choices, many of them wrong. Many of them made in a context of being deceived. Tricked. It looked good, sounded good. Sounds like Eve in the garden, right? Looks good, smells good. Yeah, and makes good outcomes, we think. Yeah, okay, sounds good. I want to latch onto that thing. Wrong choice. Because what you thought was so good wasn't. You were deceived. James 1, 13 through 16, talking about temptation, being tempted by one's own desires and enticed, etc., brings forth death. And again, do not be, there we go again, deceived. Because there's this deceptiveness to some of these choices. Looks good, but then it's not. So let's kind of put in a framework, if you will, to kind of organize, since we have so many choices, some kind of a framework to say, okay, how do I want to approach this? Because we've got easy choices, we've got more difficult choices, we've got choices confronted maybe as children, young adults, choices we confront as, you know, older people, choices confronted, you know, to become a Christian, choices young Christians, older Christians, a lot of choices, framework. So we've already kind of begun talking about, you know, beginner, intermediate, advanced. So let's talk about beginner. Some choices that are like, you know, I say black and white, you know, right and wrong, two choices, A, B, okay, two choices. Right off the bat, beginner does not mean easy. You might think, oh, well, these are just beginner choices. Okay, so they're relatively easy. No, not when you're in the situation. Beginner does not mean easy. Let's talk intermediate. Perhaps three choices. I got extreme over on the one side, I got extreme over on the other side, and, you know, a choice or more in between. More difficult now. It's not just black or white, A or B, but now I've got some latitude or multiple choices. And, again, finding the right balance or blend is a challenge there. At perhaps the more advanced level, if you want to think of it that way in terms of a framework, many choices and a continuum of choices, and that challenge of striving upward. You know, graphically, you know, beginning level, you know, tricycle, bicycle with training wheels, right? Just because it's a beginner doesn't make it easy, right? A challenge. At the other extreme, you know, high wire artist balancing on a bicycle, on a wire, above the street, etc. You know, that's, you know, beginner level, definitely more advanced level, right? If you're at all familiar with the ski industry, skiing, snowboarding, etc., you know, you may recognize these. Basically, they are trail markings from, you know, beginner, easiest, not very steep, more difficult, a little bit steeper, a little bit bumpier perhaps. And then you get into the black diamonds and the double black diamonds. If they're, you know, most difficult, expert, advanced, you know, don't fall kind of situation. And we recognize that kind of range of beginner, intermediate, advanced. So let's just kind of use that as a framework. You might be able to come up with a better one. That's fine. But we'll use this one for today, this morning and this afternoon. So let's start off at the beginner level. Okay? Again, beginner does not mean easy. Binary. Two choices. I mean, here are some examples I pulled off the internet. I mean, traffic signs, you know, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. Certain statements, you know, are either true or they're false. Right? Binary, two choices. You know, one-way traffic signs, dead-end traffic signs, you know, true-false questions, yes-no questions, binary. I like this picture, at least for the recording. And I'm not certain if this is like Pacific Coast or England, but there's like trails along the cliff. And there is a right side of the cliff to be on, and there's a wrong side of the cliff to be on, right? Right and wrong. Now, if we switch gears from, you know, true-false test questions or yes-no test questions or whatever, and apply a moral or a scriptural context, if you will, it's fairly common. I mean, in our culture, there are things that are, you know, light, and the variety of terms, right? Light, good, right, obedience. You know, we have heroes, angels, God, things that are, you know, positive, you know, morally correct, good, however term you want to use. And they have counterparts, right? Lightness and darkness, good and bad, right and wrong, disobedience, heroes and villains, you know, angels and demons, God and Satan. Binary, duality, if you will. And we recognize, you know, good versus evil. And even in our culture, you know, we have, you know, white hats and black hats. Right? And who's the good guy here, right? Well, it's the, okay, it's a duck. It's the duck with the white hat. Obviously, this is the good duck, this is the bad duck, right, in our culture. And if you want to apply that into, you know, even in our culture, in fantasy, good and evil, right? In fantasy. You know, there are people in fantasy world that are more often recognized as being the good guy, right? Good guy, heroes, whatever. You know, for the older people in the audience, younger people may say, well, who is this guy? You might not know who this is. John Wayne. Probably don't know who this guy is. The older ones, yeah. Lone Ranger, hero, definitely. A much younger Christopher Reeve, Superman, hero, right? Heroes. Okay? In fantasy world, we also have villains. Who's this guy? Darth Vader, right? Bad guy. Who's this guy? Toy Story 1. You may not remember his name. Sid. Who mistreated his toys. Bad guy. Villain, right? And of course, you can't go to a good, you know, to a Disney movie without having villains, right? Jafar from Aladdin. Ursula from Little Mermaid. You know, good and evil, good versus evil. In fact, I think, Lone Ranger, he's wearing the white hat, he must be the good guy, right? Darth Vader, he's wearing the black hat, must be the bad guy. Maybe coincidental. But again, in fantasy world, we realize this. Okay? Well, it applies to reality as well, even in our culture. You know, deeds of goodness, deeds of kindness, deeds of helping. Sometimes it involves the whole profession, you know, firefighters and policemen, etc. Sometimes it's, you know, going above and beyond and caring for people who can't care for themselves. You know, you might not call them heroes, or maybe you do call them heroes. You know, goodness. You know, doing good things. And likewise, in our culture, there are people that are recognized as evil. Who's this guy? Hitler. Younger people might not know. You know, highly instrumental, World War II, wiping out millions of people, destroying his country. Who's this guy? Osama bin Laden. Instrumental in 9/11. This guy you might not know, Kim Jong-un, current dictator, North Korea. Loved to get his hands on a nuclear weapon. Probably loved to use it. He's working on the ballistic missile technology. People that are evil because of what they do. And we recognize, again, a duality, good and evil. This is going to be a real busy chart, so I'm going to kind of slow down just a little bit. again, right and wrong, often starting very young. Easy things. Lying versus being truthful. So it was interesting. I was shopping with my grandchildren yesterday, and we were in the candy aisle, and one of my grandchildren said, "Oh, you know, at school, we're allowed to have supplies." Okay. "But you can take, and I probably shouldn't tell you this, but you can take a glue stick and remove the glue, and there's a certain kind of candy that you can put in the glue stick and take it to school with you and have it in class." And we talked a little bit. And so that way you can have the candy, which you're not supposed to have, and you can kind of sneak it out when the teacher's not looking. You can kind of sneak a piece of candy. And if the teacher, you know, kind of catches you, you can hold up the glue stick because it's, oh, it's just a glue stick. And we talked a little bit about that. That's wrong at least two levels, right? Number one, you're not supposed to have it, but you have it. So you're breaking the rules and, you know, disobeying the teacher. But what are you also doing? I'm lying. Right? Misrepresenting the truth. And young kids get this, right? Lying versus being truthful. Again, cheating versus being honest. You know, cheating on tests, cheating in athletic events. You know, we understand that. Stealing. Yeah. Big stealing? Okay. I mean, big multi-billion dollar corporate embezzlement, blah. How about stealing supplies from one of your fellow students in class? Or stealing a pencil, piece of paper, whatever. Still stealing. Yeah. We recognize that. Things we say, profanity, dirty jokes on one side, having clean speech on the other side, our vocabulary, you know, how we describe different situations or parts of the body, or, you know, however, wherever you want to go with that one. Speaking of speech, you know, gossiping. And again, you know, little kids get this, can pick up on it, you know, choices, versus being discreet and kind of holding your tongue when you've got this nice, juicy tidbit of gossip that you just love to share with. Nope, not supposed to do that. Being angry without a cause, of course. Having hate, being violent, you know, starting a fight, provoking a fight, you know, etc. You know, sometimes people will say, "Well, you made me angry." Like, man, now wait a minute. Are they like pulling on some hidden lever that you have no choice on, or is that really a choice? No, that's a choice. Versus, you know, loving enemy. And of course, you know, kids, playground, push, shove, get into fights. Yeah, there are some choices being made there. And admittedly, you know, those of us in the workplace, yeah, some of the people we deal with, if you're in retail or whatever, coworkers, you know, there's some choices there. They're beginner kind of choices, but still important choices to be made. You know, sexual kinds of things versus having self-control. Choices there. You know, you often hear the phrase, "Well, I fell in love." Well, now wait a minute. Is that someone forced you, or you had no choice, or you did have a choice? Well, you have a choice, even though the phrase suggests you don't. We already talked a little bit about clothing, you know, the type of clothing that you wear. You know, is it modest, appropriate, is it not? And that goes in terms of wintertime versus summertime. As I say, when the days start getting warmer, you know, up come the hemlines and the clothes start falling off, etc. You know, mixed swimming, you know, several different, you know, ways you could apply that. Within our culture, quote unquote, getting high. Sometimes I wish I did not live in Colorado. I love Colorado. And you know, with the mountains and the outdoors and the sunshine. Yeah. Of course, now we've got this reputation of being a stoner state with marijuana. And there's all different kinds, and, you know, that's become recently legal. But, of course, you know, there's always alcohol. There's always prescription meds that you can abuse, and then you can go into the, you know, the cocaine and the heroin, and etc. Beer. Just all different kinds of things. Versus being sober, you know, choices again. Choices, choices, choices. Okay, here we go on parents again. You know, disobeying parents, teachers, versus obeying parents. You know, again, right and wrong choices. Extend that to the government. You know, let's see, we're what? 1 week away from April 15th, right? Paying taxes. Skipping taxes. You know, it's a choice, right? Obeying versus disobeying, you know, traffic laws, police, et cetera. Assembling. You know, got to work that one in there, too. I'll have perhaps a little bit more to say about that later on. You know, versus assembling together. Again, choices. Choices. Lots of choices. Right and wrong choices. Binary choices. One or the other kind of thing. Galatians 5:21. If I didn't hit you on any of these, then how about under Galatians 5:21? And such like. That covers a lot of real estate, doesn't it? Right and wrong choices. Now, at the beginner level, and we're just getting warmed up, there are challenges, right? Like child with bicycle with training wheels, there are still challenges with that. I mean, like, they got training wheels, but you put them on a downslope, like down the driveway with a street in front, there's still going to be some challenges there. Especially for new Christians, if raised in a non-Christian home, or young people, etc. You know, there's kind of an initial challenge of, you know, really kind of distinguishing or understanding the difference, you know, between right and wrong, good and evil, etc. If you haven't been raised in that culture or in that environment, or within our current overall culture, if you will, you know, modern world, and if you will, you know, if you watch TV or movies and you get this kind of a, you know, if that's kind of your sense of right and wrong, you know, it's going to be skewed. Let's just put it bluntly. Current concepts of quote unquote moral relativism, situational ethics, civil laws that used to be somewhat constraining, being relaxed over time. You know, we've seen, you know, civil law related to divorce becoming, you know, relatively easy to get a divorce. You know, civil law related to, you know, any number of things. You know, homosexuality. We've already mentioned marijuana, et cetera, et cetera. We have people in public office that, you know, get caught doing things, or people who are, you know, trying to get in public office, both ways, you know, they get caught. They get caught red-handed. That's, you know, consequences. Sometimes. Sports figures. Yeah, sometimes. Consequences, sometimes not. Yeah. That's kind of our current culture. That's a challenge. Another challenge at the beginner level. Fear of being weird. You know, we sometimes put that under peer pressure. I mean, if you're, you know, if you're in public school, you know, sometimes even as low, you know, first, second grade, whatever, you know, junior high school, you know, on the job, whatever, you know, if you start, you know, going back, you know, several charts and, you know, looking, you know, if you start acting like down the right side here of the column here, you know, and you're telling the truth and you're trying to be honest and you know, the kind of words you use are appropriate and you're not running around gossiping and, you know, you're under control and the kinds of things you wear and the places you go or don't go or the things you, you know, say or don't say or your obedience, whatever. I hate to say it, but, you know, you're going to be weird. And that's going to subject you to some form or another of pressure. I mean, whether it's, you know, students in your class or after school with friends in your neighborhood or coworkers or whatever, you know, you're going to stand out, often like a sore thumb. And at least within some environments, you know, as they say, the nail that's sticking out is the one that gets hammered back into place, so to speak. Again, from peer pressure, which is a challenge at this level. I mean, young Christians, yeah, it is definitely a challenge. Also a challenge is recognizing that a lot of things we've been talking about not only involve actions, but they also involve attitudes and emotions. It's more than just what you do. It's like what you, how you feel, how you think, etc. You know, Matthew 5, you know, Jesus, you know, draws, you know, multiple contrasts between, well, you've heard it said this, but, you know, let me tell you the way it really is. You know, physically, you know, attacking someone, okay, yeah, that's wrong. But, you know, getting angry without justifiable reason, you know, sexual activity, yeah, that's wrong. But what about, you know, the attitudes, the emotions, and lust prior to that? Okay, also wrong. Loving enemies, etc. So a lot of challenges. And there's also the challenge of, in some ways, the Bible, in many ways, the Bible just doesn't come out and flat say, okay, you know, this particular article of clothing, this is okay, this one's not. Or this particular word is okay, this one is not. Oh, and this particular, you know, it often doesn't go to that level of detail. So you have general principles. You know, Romans 12:1, classic example. You know, present your bodies a living sacrifice, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Okay, good general principle, but beginner level. You know, how do I apply that? You know, how do I apply that to simple things like, you know, diet and exercise? How do I apply that to dress? You know, how do I apply that to, you know, things like, you know, piercings and tattoos? How do I apply that to, you know, makeup? Or various, at least within our culture, you know, various extremes in terms of, you know, goth or punk or whatever. You know, how do I apply that? Again, it says it, it's a general principle, but how do I apply it? It's a challenge. It can be a challenge. And as always, there's also the temptation to rationalize. I mean, after all, it's really not all that bad, is it? Everyone else is doing it. It's just a little white lie. Again, rationalize. And yeah, it really is black and white, but it's like, well, maybe it isn't as black as what it, you know, is portrayed to be. There's that temptation. That's a challenge. Beyond challenges that we face at the beginner level of choices, right and wrong, there are some dangers that I wanted to, you know, emphasize a little bit. Sometimes we talk in terms of gray zone, okay? I mean, over on one side is the right, over on the other side is the wrong, okay? Over on, and I like the picture, if you remember the one with the cliff. You know, over here is the trail. It's safely away from the cliff. On the other side, there's a cliff. And it's a, you know, cliff. Okay? Sometimes there's that tendency of not staying away from the wrong, but kind of easing up over to it. And sometimes we talk in terms of slippery slope. And, you know, physically we understand that. I mean, if you're, you know, walking along the trail, and, you know, here's where the trail is, where the trail marker is, and it's well marked, right over there, and, you know, there's like the drop off of the cliff or whatever, you know, you can easily envision situations where, well, the wind's kind of blowing that way, and, you know, the fog is kind of rolling in, and the grass is getting a little slippery, and it's kind of downsloped a little bit. And, you know, that cliff isn't like a rock-solid cliff. It's kind of crumbly. And it's like, okay. But it's kind of cool over there. And it's a cool view. And you kind of look down. It's a long way down. You kind of throw rocks over the edge and watch it bounce down there. It's like, well, that's kind of tempting, isn't it, to kind of get close to the edge. Morally speaking, spiritually, figuratively speaking, you know, we often say one thing leads to another. It does. I mean, you know, you take a step, half step, step, step and a half. It's like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, maybe it's not that bad. You know, maybe what my mom and dad told me, and yeah, and everything, they just don't really understand what's going on. And yeah, this looks pretty cool. Oh, take another half step. Oh, yeah, this looks kind of interesting. Yeah, I kind of like it over here. And there you go. Yeah. Slippery slope. And also, it's like the more, I think Alan has used the term, like opening doors a little, kind of look around the other side, or opening doors a little bit more, and now you got your foot in the door, and you're kind of looking around, et cetera. You know, he sometimes uses, you know, the doors that we often open as, you know, younger people, having, you know, longer lasting consequences. Bible speaks in terms of having a seared conscience, et cetera. You know, I like Genesis 13:12. You may remember, you know, Abram and Lot, their herds grown to the extent where the land in a particular place couldn't sustain both their herds. And so Abram gave Lot the choice, and, you know, he made a choice, you know, to head down toward the well-watered area for his livestock. Lot dwelled, of course, at least according to Genesis 13:12, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, if you go on and read the story, yeah, he started off with his tents kind of moving, you know, in the area of Sodom. And some time passes, and where's he living? He's living in Sodom, right? So it's like a step, and then another step, and then another step. And at least in his case, with tragic consequences. Slippery slopes. We recognize that in real life. Do we recognize it in spiritual parlance? And again, there's that graphic. I like that graphic. You know, walk along by the cliffside. Now, I don't know if you want to make this point, but okay, here's a person here on the far right, and it's like, eh, oh, so there's, is that the trail right there? I can't quite tell. You know, 15 feet or so away from the edge. Here's another person, I don't know, what is that, like 4 feet away from the edge? Something you may want to think about. All right, so that was the beginner level. Check my time. Okay, so we'll start with some of the intermediate level, but we're gonna run out of time. I'm going to have to stop partway through it, and we'll resume tonight. So let's kick it up a notch. Let's move beyond beginner level right and wrong. Let's talk about three or more choices. Again, kind of a spectrum. Often, although not always, between two extremes. An even more advanced form is it's not finding the balance between these two. It's like a combo. I need to somehow combine some of over there with some of over there to strike the right proper blend. Now, that's an even more complex situation. Now, in today's world, it's fairly common. I mean, if you want to talk in the political spectrum, you know, Democrats, independent Republicans, etc. If you want to talk socially with, you know, liberals and moderates and conservatives, you know, within the parenting realm, you know, parents that are, you know, ultra permissive, ultra strict, you know, again, finances, being, you know, very tightly holding on to your money versus they spend thrift, which if you look at the word, you go, oh, they like to spend a little, are they thrifty? No, basically spending a lot. That's a weird word. And again, fashion, all different kinds of spectrum choices, you know, hairstyles and makeup, et cetera. Again, graphically, you know, a whole political spectrum, all the way from, you know, anarchist, no government whatsoever, you know, all the way over the other side, you know, fascism and communism and whatever. You know, we recognize, you know, political spectrum. Spectrum in terms of hairstyles, I've got this image off the internet, you know, super, super long hair, you know, shaved, no hair at all. Again, extremes kind of thing to illustrate. Common occurrence. In terms of finding a balance point, so we recognize, you know, tightrope walkers, easy enough. Mountain climbers now with not only cliff on one side, but cliff on the other side. Here's Jeff coming down the mountain on a snowboard. That's not me, but yeah, looks like me. But again, it's a balance. I mean, physics, balance. You know, you lean too far to one side, you're going to smack into the snow. You lean too far to the other side, you're going to smack into the snow, right? Balance. Sometimes you'll see these kind of rock formations that people put up. Well, balance kind of thing, choices. We talk about work-life balance as an example. I mean, we recognize this, right, within the physical domain, physical realm. There's a story that I think illustrates this, and I think the young kids will recognize that. Who's this gal? Remember the name? Goldilocks. There's a story, Goldilocks and Three Bears, right? And we won't get into the more interesting adult aspects of breaking and entering and destruction of someone else's property and, you know, those kinds of things. But as you know, the story goes, you know, found some porridge, too hot, found some more porridge, too cold, found some other porridge, just right, in the middle, right? Also a situation with found three beds. One was too big and hard. One was too small. You know, whatever. Found the one kind of just right. It's kind of interesting. We talk about Goldilocks, and we kind of laugh. Oh, yeah, it's a kid's fairy tale. Well, we say that, but in astronomy, oddly enough, as a side comment, they talk in terms of the Goldilocks zone, where if you have a planet from a temperature perspective, it's not
too cold
where your water is frozen solid, and it's not too hot where your water is all vaporized. It's just right. It's the habitable zone. It's right in between. It's just right. It's the Goldilocks zone, what they call it. In search of planets which may contain, signs of alien life, whatever. But Goldilocks zone. There you go. Now, we talked about Goldilocks in our sermon this morning. But again, choice between two extremes to illustrate the point. So I think what we're going to do, we're going to pause right there with Goldilocks. I'll leave you with a little bit of fairy tale there. But again, to illustrate the point about balance between two extremes. Choices, choices, choices. Lots of choices. So far we've covered beginner choices. We've started talking about intermediate choices. Later on we'll talk about even more advanced choices. There was one category that I kind of debated in my mind. Where you put the choice in? Maybe you can help. So if we have, let's say, a husband and wife situation, or if we have, a parent-child situation. And either one, doesn't matter. And the person says, I love you very much. And I love you so much that, I want to spend, what let's call us time together. And, during our us time, we'll do things together that, we like to do. Or, if you need something, we can take care of that. If you're sick, I'll take care of you. If I need to go to the grocery store because we're out of food, I'll buy food. If I need, if you lock yourself out of the house, I'll come by and let you back in. If you lock yourself out of your car, you get a flat tire, whatever, I'll come and help you. Or, if I need to take you to school, no problem during us time. Now, okay. Recognize that I've also got some me time, too. Right? For me. So I got us time and I got me time. But I love you so much. Tell you what we're going to do. Out of 7 days a week, I'm going to give you 2 days. 2 full days of us time. And again, if you need help, I'm there for you. Now, if it's me time and you need help, sorry. If you lock yourself out of the house, if you got a flat tire, if you got to be taking school, sorry, no, that's me time. Us time, yeah, I'm there for you. I love you very much. And that's about 28% different. I'll tell you what, I'll do even better than that. Tell you what, 3.5 days out of the week, out of seven, 3.5 out of 7, I'll make that us time. Right? If you need help, I'm there for you, because I love you very much. Okay, 50%. How would you describe that relationship between the spouses? I mean, there's us time, dedication, love. Yeah. Or between the parent and child. I mean, you wouldn't really say that they've been abandoned, would you? I mean, technically, they're not abandoned. Well, unless it's during me time, right? But, it might not be technical abandonment, but, figuratively, it sure feels that way, right? Or like a child. Yeah, if you get sick during us time, I'll take you to the doctor, take you to the hospital. But, if you get sick during me time, sorry, you're on your own. Yeah, it kind of feels like abandonment, doesn't it? Okay. If I try to convert that over in the spiritual world, and again, I don't know where you put this choice. So, again, help me out. If you put this into the spiritual choice, I have Sunday morning Bible class. We've got Sunday morning worship. I got Sunday evening worship. And we've got Wednesday night. So I've got 4 occurrences. And, first of all, let me say, I'm not talking about, people that, from time to time get sick, or they need to work, or, those kinds of things. Okay, so us time, so we'll come into, Sunday morning worship. Okay. One out of four, that's 25%. I tell you what, we'll do Sunday morning and yeah, maybe Wednesday night. Okay, well, that's 2 out of 4. Cool. Well, now we're talking 50%. Now, some people will look at, you know, Hebrews, and they'll talk about, you know, forsaking the assembly, and they'll say, well, the forsaking there is like an abandonment kind of thing, and, you know, they've, you know, got the permanent abandonment. Permanent.
Yeah. Do you see the parallel?
I don't know where to put this choice. Actually, I kind of do. But where would you put the choice? We have a lot of visitors, and we very, 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 very much appreciate it. You coming and, you know, encouraging us and us encouraging you. Very much appreciative of that. But sometimes we only see you like, you know, once a week. And again, I'm not talking sickness. I'm not talking about, you know, you have certain work kind of obligations. But sometimes we only, you know, get to see you once a week to encourage you and have you encourage us. You know, sometimes we might see you twice a week. You know, 25%, 50%. How, you know, compare that with the spouse and with the child. And decide which category we put this choice in. There's also some other choices that we routinely make, or choices that we routinely offer as we conclude a service. You know, and we didn't really talk about this one in our discussion, and that's of even becoming a Christian. And we talked about, you know, right and wrong and things we should do, things we shouldn't do, but we really didn't really talk about one of the biggest choices of all, that of becoming a Christian. We offer that choice of what sometimes people call primary obedience to become a Christian. There's also the choice of, well, yeah, I kind of messed up my life, and yeah, it was kind of public, and yeah, I need to make it right, you know, publicly. Okay, that's also a choice. A choice to do wrong, choice to come back. We also offer choice of, yeah, I'm kind of struggling, you know, things haven't been going real well. You know, some we made even some announcements this morning about, you know, people that may be struggling, sometimes need extra help, sometimes need some extra encouragement, etc. And that choice is offered as well. Lots of choices, don't we have every day, including now. If you need to respond to these kinds of choices, we would encourage you to come forward, make those choices known as we stand and sing.